Injury-wise, how are you looking ahead of the trip to Ipswich?
Steely's still not 100%. He keeps sort of doing a dynamic session, and that keeps flaming his back injury up. So, yesterday he did a session, a goalkeeping session, and it flared up again. So, Steely won't be with us, I don't think, on Friday. And it's sort of one step forward, two back at the minute with Luke. And Rammers, he's coming on good. Rammers, he's probably 3 or 4 days ahead of schedule, and if that carries on, then he'll probably be a week in front of schedule. But certainly for the weekend, for the local, I've not got Rammers. And just a bit of a contention over Paddy. He come off Saturday. He had an injection in his glute before the game. That sort of wore off round about 60 minutes, and he was in he's in quite a bit of pain up to 65, 70 minutes. So we've just got to try and get Paddy and manage him through. And manage the injury site as opposed to, do something a bit more radical and, get some real intensive treatment on. It's a case of just managing him through this injury.
Are you hopeful he'll be able to play and be available for selection then on Friday?
He wouldn't be available now, and possibly going into tomorrow. I think the game being Saturday would give him another opportunity and another day, but we don't have that. We don't have that time span, so we'll know more Thursday. We certainly will. Thursday will be a big day. It is getting better, and we've just sat down with the medical department, making sure that it doesn't go any worse. Because what I don't want to do is play Paddy on Friday and not have him for 4 to 6 weeks. So that's what we're guarding against, and we've got to do. We've got a duty of care to the player and to the football club, and it's important that we don't just see it as just one game. We've got Paddy for further than that.
So, Ramage is getting ahead of schedule. Is Steele then still on track or behind schedule, given what he's not really able to do right now in training?
Yeah, probably be behind. I think we've tried now for the last 2 weeks to get Steele out to do some goalkeeping work. And like I said, it's completely different to what an outfield player's, injury is. It's in its back. It's not an hamstring injury. It's not an ankle injury. It's a back injury, and with a goalkeeper flying about all the time, we've just got to nurse him through and get him to that point. But certainly, it's taking longer than we anticipated.
Other issues then. Niatanga, where's he? When's he likely to be available again?
We had a game lined up today against Chesterfield. They called it off, which Tangs was going to play. So we've had to reboot him, and Lewin's playing tonight against Leeds. So looking forward to watching that. Bobby H is playing in that as well. Jason Scotland, Geno. So we can only have three overage players, or I would have played like, Thomas Sisker, Jim O'Brien. We had two games lined up. The one this afternoon that's got cancelled, we had a real team out to play in that one. So we've had to reboot and reorganise tonight's fixture. So it gives me a great chance to see where Tangs is up to.
So without putting two and two together, and I dare say I probably am, I mean, that could solve a bit of problem, couldn't it? Because obviously there's cover at centre-half and there's cover at left-back that he would provide. He covers sort of a couple of different issues that you've had and still got for the next few weeks or so until everybody comes back.
I think that's why I've not dipped at the minute, into using that last loan signing up. It's been important that up to this week, I've only really had Bobby that I could have put in at centre-half. We have been a little bit scarce in that area, but that does give me a cover if Tangs can come through it, and then there's no reaction to that on Wednesday. So yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight's game, obviously, but I think that's the big one if Tangs can come through it.
I mean, presumably then Friday will be too early for him, having just played that game, but potentially the Donny game for Niatanga.
No, I think it's more than that. I really do. I think he's missed a lot of the season. He missed a good chunk of the pre-season. And it's the same again, you start rushing players back and they're not fully fit and game fit, you end up getting a secondary injury problem. So I've got to be guided by the medical team. We have tried two or three different ways to look at the injury and to try and manage it. And tonight will be a good barometer where Tangs is at.
The O'Grady-Pedersen partnership. What do you? I mean, that's clicked, hasn't it, in the last couple of games? Why do you think that is? What qualities does that give you?
Chris. Now, from last season, his work from last season is really paying off this season, and it tends to happen that way. You don't just form overnight. So Chris O'Grady is getting better and better by each game and each experience that Chris has. When you've got someone who's so focal to your team, as in Chris, it does occupy other centre halves, and they do become concerned about a centre half. When I was at Chester, we had a lad called Andy Milner who weren't scoring goals, and we got Cyril Regis in, and Cyril didn't get a lot of goals, but Andy Milner scored 11 then, you know, in quite a small period, and that's what tends to happen. And I think it's similar while you're occupying Chris O'Grady and putting so much attention to him, because for me he's one of the most robust informed strikers you know, in the Championship at the minute, then Marcus Pedersen's going to find holes, he's going to find space, he's going to find gaps. I think what we've seen from Peds is that he is he's finely tuned, and he's got to have a good week's training, he's got to be in a rhythm of work in training. And when he does that, and he does 4 days on the spin, then on a Saturday you get maximum performance. And he's a technician, he's Premiership quality, and we're getting him to work as hard as Chris O'Grady. I think he's learning from the environment. I really do. You know, he's a guy who's come over with a decent profile. He's seen the work ethic of Chris O'Grady and Chris Dagnall and Danny Rose, the strikers that we've got at the football club, and he's trying to emulate that and trying to repeat perform. So. I see the partnership getting better, but as an individual, Marcus Pedersen, if he can get 4 or 5 Championship games under his belt consistently and good training weeks, we really are going to see the best out of this player.
Is he a player that in then has all the kind of technical gifts to play at this level, if not a bit higher, but actually he just needs to work a bit harder? I mean, is that the basic level?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we've got him from a different country, and I think different culture. Certainly what we've got to do at Barnsley is the way we want to try and play is that, you know, the hard work and that mentality shift, whatever play we bring to the football club, you know, Paddy McCourt got us the goal on Saturday through pressing. Reader Johnson, you know, we've had phone calls from Celtic, you know, you've now got Paddy McCourt pressing, what's going on? And we've had them sort of text. So it's just a mantra that we're trying to lay down and put down, and Marcus is certainly getting that, and I think any player can work harder. I really do. When you see the world's best Bayern Munich, and you see the world's best players, Robin, Ribery, pressing like they do, you know, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for any English player or any player we bring to Barnsley.
Other issues. Dale Jennings and his development, not just on the Bayern Munich thing there, how do you feel he's doing? There's a kind of a feeling amongst the fan base that he's maybe just lacking a bit of confidence right now.
Yeah, I think the game that he come on was cut thrust. It was a real, it was in the melting pot, wasn't it? The game was in the melting pot. And, you know, Saturday's game might not have been the game to really thrust him into. With Reader Johnson booked, it was a great opportunity to get him to that side. And you know, a 6'2" centre-back who's just been booked playing at left-back, it was an ideal opportunity for Dale to be positive and get at him. And it didn't happen. So, you know, we'll look at that, we'll revisit that. Dale's playing tonight. His progress has been slower than I thought. We did think it'd be sort of a 3 to 6 month project. But it could even be longer than that because, you know, we're putting a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort into developing the kid. And, you know, I want to see the best of Dale Jennings and we will.
Slightly cliche question, but does he need a loan somewhere? Because if he's developing, he might not necessarily be ready to play as much as you would want him to in the first team, or indeed somebody's ahead of him right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not for the minute. It's something that we've not discussed. I see where you're going with that further down the line, but it's something certainly we've not discussed. And the trouble is, you know, you've got to make the right fit. You know, we've been in constant dialogue with Nults and. With the people at Tranmere, and they've been really happy with Notes, and they've been really happy with we've been happy with where Notes gone to, because it was a club that he's had to defend, he's had to go there and really you know, work hard on his defending, and he has done. But I think with Dale it's hard getting that fit, because we do want to develop him here in the methods that we're trying to do. If he goes to another club, will he do that? I'm not sure, but I think you might be right for a confidence shot. It might help him develop from a confidence point of view.
4 points from the last two games. In terms of belief in what you're doing and from the players' point of view as well, how much has that lifted things here?
If I'm being honest, I stay clear from that emotion. Certainly with the players, I keep telling them this is the plan, this is what we've got to do. The next phase of what we certainly have to do is clean sheets. It's a barometer we've not been able to get to. it's something that we're working really hard morning and then this afternoon, and that's been the focus for the last 4 weeks. And it's something that, you know, we're convinced that we'll come through and start winning them clean sheets. We start getting clean sheets, we start really rising up this table, which is, you know, the only thing that we're looking at, but it's the small steps. The clean sheet will give us that momentum and step to move forward. The training ground, I make sure the training ground is a good place to come and work, a good place to be, because without that, you know, you start getting that suppression in the environment, and that's one thing that, you know, I'll never let happen, whatever the results are.
It's a fine balance, though, isn't it? I mean, over the course of your time here, Barnsley have become noted for actually playing some pretty decent stuff going forward at times, but do you have to almost sacrifice that at certain times to get over that line, to get the clean sheet?
It's the classic, innit? You know, as a coach, manager, sometimes you concentrate too much on the defending and, you know, you stop attacking and you stop attacking teams and hurting teams. Then you're really hurting teams and you end up conceding goals. So it's a balance that we've got to find. You know, I'm desperate as a coach, manager and my coaching staff to find the answers for that. We are working on the players individually and as units and collectively. So we'll continue to do that and try and get the balance right in scoring goals. And certainly, you know, we've got to become better at not conceding.
April 27th, last clean sheet in the league. Do you use that as motivation?
No, again, you know, that's in the past. We just got to make sure that Ipswich, our next target, that we fully have a plan to keep a clean sheet against Ipswich. And that's what we've been trying to do this week. So, you know, I know the stats are out there and people love throwing stats at you, but we can't do anything about them. What we can do is affect the next one, which is Ipswich, and that's what we're trying to do.
I raise this point with Martin Crane, so I'll raise it with you. I mean, when you're in this defensive, not rut as such, but it's not everything's not working on all cylinders. Do you do anything different, or do you just have to say, look, press on, keep going, it'll kind of come eventually?
No, you have. You've got to do work on the training ground, you know, individually and as a unit, you've got to do. And then we'll go through and, you know, we'll work the back five, and then we add the midfield four in, and then obviously the two strikers, which are the starting point. And that's what we have got right, you know, whether it's Daggers or Chris O'Grady or Pedersen, Rose, Scotland. Them players start defending at the front, and they have done. The midfield early part of the season's let us down, you know, in tracking and not protecting that defensive unit. And then now we've got that right. The last little bit of detail is the defenders, i.e. the goal against Sheffield Wednesday. You know, it was criminal that we've all come out and nobody's picked Fryett up on the way out. And we've conceded a goal. We keep a clean sheet against Sheffield Wednesday, and it has a different spin on the actual game and the experience.
So Ipswich then are the next challenge. What's been your assessment of them to date?
Well, again, you know, Mick's been in there now quite a while, and they're Mick McCarthy-esque. They're full of, you know, exactly what Mick says on the tin. You know, this is Ronsey we're playing against. Mm. They've got honesty, they've got loyalty to each other, they've got a great work ethic, and they display, they've got good players who are certainly working as one and playing as a team. And it's been funny because we've been playing against teams who they've played lately. So we've had a good chance to watch him on quite a few occasions. And he's got two players in form up front. Certainly McGoldrick's in great form and he looks fit. And it's going to be a real tough head-on collision because, you know, I think that we're in decent form. So I'm looking forward to the game, I really am.
Drawn a few though, haven't they? So they are susceptible.
Oh, without a doubt, and everyone is in this league, you know. You seen the Watford game last night, you know, you think you're cruising and then, you know, Brighton, you know, score a goal. Everyone in this league is susceptible. It's just making sure that we're tighter than we have been at the back, and we've got some punch going forward.
How important is it that you get something? Because some of the home form's been pretty decent, mm-hmm. but it's played six, lost six on the road. Even if it is a point, at least it's a start away from Oakwell.
Yeah, again, you know, I look at our away form and on paper it looks as bad as anything in the league and certainly anything in the country. But I go back to the Notts Forest game where we sort of 6 minutes, if Scott Wiseman does his job, we're 6 minutes away from getting a draw, Bournemouth and Blackpool. So, and Leicester, we've come close to Leicester, so we've got to really turn that little bit of detail into something that's more tangible. And that's what we're going to try and do down at Ipswich. And you know, we've working hard this week to put that right. And I can't. I'm looking forward to trying to get pit our wits against a good Ipswich team.
Just to take a step back for a second, obviously in playing Middlesbrough and then Wednesday, Ipswich mid-table right now, you've got a run of fixtures against teams who are, they're doing okay, but they might, the theory goes, they might not necessarily threaten the playoffs. How important is it that you get up ahead of steam here so that you're it, by the time December comes around, I suppose, you've got really something to build on to move away from the relegation zone?
I think we're looking at the Ipswich game. I think after that and beyond that, you know, there's teams there that have been struggling with form, have had some good wins, but have certainly struggled in form, and they're not the teams that we have played, you know, the first 10 games, who have all been in form. It's an opportunity now for us in the next 4 to 6 weeks to really get some points on the board. And we can't look at them as desperate games. We've got to look at them as winnable games. But if I'm being really honest, I believe we can beat anyone in this league. That's the way I send a team out. If I don't believe it, and certainly the players won't. And we've got a run of games that you know, will be very competitive in.
Just finally then, the loan situation, is that just on hold until you wait for the injury situation to clear? Or can you still look? Because I know in recent press conferences you've been trying to push through a few avenues, etc. Is that now off the agenda for the next couple of weeks?
No, it's not. You know, we've got that one loan signing left, and I've been trying to sort of manage that and been quite worried about if you get one, then you know, that's us done and dusted. So we're still looking, we're still monitoring, and we've still got particular irons in the fire. We've been watching the European situation, certainly at Tottenham, at Wigan, to see a couple of players there that have played. And they've been using them in Europe, so that's something that opportunity might have gone now. So it's always developing because it's always moving. You know, it's always live. Football's live, and so is the loan market. But it's just dead. The loan market at the minute is just a little bit dead. I think the financial fair play, and certainly we're finding that in getting a few players out, that everybody's maybe at this time of year just got 5, maybe 6 loan signings in. It's just sort of cranked a little bit. So it has been a lot slower than what we predicted. Whether that's the financial fair play and everybody's up to budget, I'm not too sure, but it's certainly slowed down at the minute.
Can you see anyone going from here? Because we've spoken about some of the kids, for instance. Is anybody else, or could anybody else leave the club on though?
Yeah, we spoke to the young players, you know, John Coffey, Andre Jones, Ruby Noble-Lazarus. I'd definitely look, if it was the right mentor, the right team, to go out there and make games and play games. The 21s isn't really giving them that stimulus. So, yeah, that's something that, as a football club, and certainly as a structure, we're looking to do, but only part of the development process.